Okay, now let's dive into a little bit of technique, and I'm going to give you a basic structure of, let me ask you this. I have a stack of audit calls. Should we play a couple of these?
If you can, be great.
You know what? I have some from people that had participated. These are dentist's office. Is that okay?
Yeah, and these are people that were at the seminar.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's great because those are real. The fear would be, I think, somebody listening that you would just pick out a handful of bad ones. Well,
no.
We listen to all of them, so go ahead.
Well,
Jay.
I mean, I've probably got 30 or so in this case. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to grab one and we're going to play it. And then what I'll do is you and I can maybe do the critique on it.
Okay.
Now, what I'd suggest people do is they write the following. If you're in a position, I'm sure you're driving down the road, so be careful, but write these things down. And what this is kind of a basic review critique. Number one is we're going to listen for the greeting, Greg, to see what that sounds like, because that's the intro. Number two, we're going to listen for how they answer questions. Number three, is there what we call a transition? Number four, is there a close? And lastly, we're going to listen for any type of name or data capture. One of the very interesting things that happens is that in many practices, we have never implemented a system that if an inquiry comes in, that we capture that inquiry. Are you with me?
Right.
In other words, it's almost like something within practice that's never happened.
Okay.
They either come in or we don't even care or have any effort at all to follow up with them.
Right.
Right? And so I want everyone to kind of open their eyes to that maybe there's an opportunity there creating some type of a lead list at some point.
Jay, do you mind going through those key components again? There's the greeting.
The greeting, and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Answering questions.
Got it.
And then what we call, I'll teach you a transition today, and then is there any kind of a close? Now, and lastly, name or data capture.
Okay.
Now, here's what, let's listen, and then we'll walk through some of the components and some of the specific things that you want to do differently, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bear with me here. I'll just grab one of these tapes, cue it up, and hopefully this will all work.
Associates, this is. May I help you?
Hello, I was wondering if maybe you could help me. I have a wisdom tooth that's just been aching, and I wanted to find out what it would cost to have the tooth pulled, or if it can be saved. What you would do to save it?
Well, Dr. would need to have you come in and evaluate the tooth.
Uh-huh.
You know, he wouldn't know if he'd be able to save it until he saw you.
Okay.
You know, and then, you know, he could recommend what needed to be done.
Oh, okay. If he had to pull it, then what would it cost?
I don't know if he would need to refer that out or if he would do it here in the office. I think it would depend on the position, the location, and what's going on with the tooth.
Okay. Okay. So do you accept Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance?
We do, but not an HMO.
Oh.
It has
well,
to be a PPO.
Oh, okay. I don't have that.
You have an HMO?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Okay. All right, then.
And can I have your name?
Yes, it's Joan.
Joan?
Uh-huh, Screech. S-C-R-E-E-T-C-H.
S-C-R-E-E-T-C-H. Okay, and Joan, where are you from?
I'm from Georgia.
Okay. And you're just in town visiting?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And this tooth has been nagging me, so I thought that I would check around to see what it would cost to pull it or fill it or do something.
Okay, and what is the position of the tooth?
It's a lower wisdom tooth.
Lower wisdom. And have you had trouble with it before?
No, not really.
No, all of a sudden?
Really. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, all of a sudden it just started. I guess I have a cavity in it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden it just started aching.
Okay.
So I didn't know.
And how did you hear of us, Joan?
Just a telephone book.
Oh, okay.
Just calling around.
Okay.
But now I have an HMO. Now, if he were to pull it, can you give me an idea of what it would cost?
I think it would depend. Let me put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so we're holding here. I should probably time the hold, but
I've been watching it. It's going on. It's dragging on toward a minute.
Okay. Well, I think it's good that we all get to experience that, though. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. There was offices that used to have what they called the front deskless office, where no one answered the phone at the front, only the staff in the back.
Hi, Joan. Hi.
All right, here we go.
Our office would be willing to see you. Dr. could have you come in and evaluate and take an x-ray of the tooth. However, you would have to be, you know, responsible for the fee.
Okay.
With, you know, without me doing anything to insurance, because, you know, obviously I can't do an HMO.
Uh-huh.
You know? If you have an HMO dental, you need to see someone in the network.
Oh, okay.
Now, what you can do is you can call
uh-huh.
Blue Cross Blue Shield
mm-hmm.
and ask them if there is a dentist in this area
okay.
that's, you know, who accepts the HMO. You'd have to go through their networking.
Okay.
But they can do that for you.
Okay.
You know, you can tell them you're traveling and that, you know, you're in Chicago from Georgia and, you know, you're having some pain and, you know, who in this area would be able to see you.
Okay.
That's, you know, an option for you. Otherwise, you know, you're welcome to come in here and Dr. can take a look, but, you know, then you would be responsible for the fee.
Okay, then. Well, then how much is this consultation?
Well, the x-ray and the office visit, you know, it just depends on what he would find.
Okay. All right, then. Well, let me call them and see who's in the area. Okay.
Yeah, maybe they'd be able to give you somebody, you know, who would accept the HMO.
Okay, then.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Okay.
Gee, what do you think?
Well, you know, what really struck me at the end of that call is this, and I think that when you've got a person at the front desk and their economic circumstances are such that they personally only purchase health care based upon what their insurance covers, Greg,
right?
That they somehow automatically assume that every other person in the entire city where they live operates from the same basis.
Right.
Are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
So if one person's income is $25,000 a year and another person's income is $500,000 a year, is there a possibility that their pattern of purchase is not contingent upon what their insurance covers?
Right.
And that it is virtually impossible over the telephone to predict their circumstances. This is one of the most common things that we see. In other words, they go ahead and make, they're essentially sending them away
right.
because they wouldn't come in. And so, let's address a couple things. And this was sort of an odd call, but not abnormal. Did you get the sense that she really didn't want her to come in?
Very clearly.
It was almost like, well, she kind of came back off that hold, sort of fired up. I thought she was going to, like, come out with a big, strong close, right?
Right.
And it was, well, we'd be willing to see you in our office. However, and then it was like she just smeared the negative all over her. So,
Jay, I found that staff, a lot of times, especially if they're understaffed, there's not enough staff to go around, they take it on themselves to try to limit who gets in and keep the problems out of the office. Because once they get in the office, there's just not enough staff to deal with the problems. And you're saying that's a huge mistake.
Well, it is, and very common when we do these calls, we hear, again, the staff not, the priority is not to get the person in the door. Here's what, you know, Gene Sparland.
Is to try to decide if they're a good patient.
Oh, yeah, qualifying test. You know, I don't know, you know, Gene Sparland taught me early on. He said, you know, Jay, what we want to do, when I first went to work for him, Greg, he said, what we want to do is if we can just get people to walk across the threshold of this door. He said, if we can do that, they're not all going to stay, but the majority of them will. He said, but if we cannot get them across the door, we have no hope to help them whatsoever.
Right.
And I have always had that strategy burned in my head.
Get them in and then solve the problem. And I'd say that if you can't do that, if you can't embrace that, you're understaffed.
Good point. Excellent point.
Some doctors do this, and staff do it unconsciously out of a survival response. They know if a bunch of people that are going to get in, that there's going to have to be some wrestling over whether insurance pays or whether they're going to come up with that out of their pocket. They just keep them out of the office.
You know, I wonder in this day and age, and I should probably do some research on this, but what the actual, you know, in healthcare dollars spent, what's actually now being paid by an insurance company versus being paid out of the individual's pocket?
First of all, I would be willing to bet it's half what the contract leads the patient to believe it's going to pay.
Right.
And this is across the board, so we shouldn't assume, is what you're telling me, that because insurance isn't going to cover this or that isn't covered good, we should get them in. One of my clients, Roy Smith, one of the more successful people in the country, said that his staff finally convinced him after about 18 years to quit letting these troubled patients in the door. So he said, okay. He said their income dropped 25% in 30 days.
Wow.
Because they went back and looked, and they found that a lot of the people that didn't qualify as good patients on the phone either became good patients once they got there or they referred people that were. And it killed them to get to do that kind of screening over the phone. So they actually measured it. It was a 1/4 loss almost overnight.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Well, and I guess the flip side of that, right, is that there's probably people listening to this tape that can have a 1/4 increase overnight.
Right.
Which is
by
what's
opening
exciting.
It up and kind of handling it, so to speak, once it gets there, as opposed to trying to figure it out over the phone.
Well, and, you know, I have always had, you know, what happens, I don't know about you, but, you know, when you get something and, like, you take an example like this and you make these modifications and all of a sudden you put in a lot more people, you know what? It might create some new problem that you have to fix.
Right.
But that's okay. That's a good problem to have.
So, Jay, what should we have done with this call?
Well, first of all, there were some assumptions made, and let's kind of go back over our let's touch on a couple of these points. And the first one is this. The greeting should be the same every time they answer the phone. Let me go ahead and tell you what greeting we teach people, because I want people to get this and be able to implement this. First thing you want to do is you want to say the name of the business. So if it's the Jones Clinic, the Guyer Clinic, the Stanley Clinic, whatever it is, the name of the business clearly. Second thing you want to say is this. This is Jay. So Guyer Clinic, this is Jay, and then how may I help you?
So you're turning the power of the relationship back to the staff person instead of the patient.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, you're bugging me. Now, what can I do for you? I like it.
How may I help you? Because what we want to do is we want them to bond to us. And see, here's what I want people to understand. Staff must classify the call within the first 5 seconds. So, in other words, we have determined that there's about seven to eight, depending on the type of practice, 7 to 8 different types of calls, Greg. So, for instance, you've got a prospective new patient. You've got an existing patient. You've got a vendor. You've got a family and friends type call, right? You got somebody trying to give you money. You've got telemarketers. So there's these 7 or 8 different types of calls. And so if you think about this, the calls, Greg, never change. They're always the same. In other words, month after month after month, it's the same 7 or 8 types of calls coming into your office all the time. It's just different people making them.
Okay.
And so the staff should have that, should have a, like in their mind, in their sort of mental supercomputer, right, they should sort of have a visual of that. And once they figure out what type of call it is, Greg, once I know it's a new patient, that trigger goes off and I classify that, I then, as opposed to responding to every question they say, I take control of the call and drive it to the outcome. And in that particular category, the outcome is get an appointment scheduled. You know, if it's a personal phone call or if it's a, you know, salesperson, maybe the outcome is get rid of them as fast as you can. So everyone has a particular outcome. Existing patient, get them scheduled. Again, driving toward that outcome. So that's the first thing that has to happen. And it's like a bell goes off. Are you with me? In other words, it's like, you know, it's kind of like when, you know, it's that state of readiness again. It's like I take that call, I immediately, bam, within the first 5 seconds, pick what kind of call it is, and then I start driving toward the outcome. What you heard in that call, what you'll hear in a lot of the audits we do, is that the staff many times doesn't make that connection. In other words, here's another trick. Questions equal new patients. Questions equal new patients. And so many times people will call up with questions about hours or insurance or treatments or whatever it may be, and the staff doesn't somehow, again, the bell doesn't ring where they go, this is a new patient, I need to produce an appointment. They just simply respond to the questions.
They stay on the defensive until the patient hangs up.
Exactly. And that pattern, you have to break that pattern. So what we teach them to do is answer the question. So, for instance, again, in this call we just did, questions should be answered as succinctly as possible, Greg, because the more information you give, the less, the greater likelihood you say something that causes them not to come in.
Okay,
so the longer the call goes on, the more information you give, the worse it is. So do you take insurance? This is a really simple answer. Yes. Right? Y-E-S, and you move on.
What if it gets complicated? Say, do you take my insurance?
Well, I mean, you have to answer that question. But I'm going to tell you what happens. And people want to always, you know, it's a great question, but here's the first line of defense is this. You don't bring it up, okay?
Right.
In other words, I'm going to tell you from listening to thousands of these tapes, more often than not, it's the staff member who throws that cog in the wheel.
Got it.
And so the first thing we have to do is we want to not necessarily try and correct problems that don't exist. So when you eliminate it or you lessen, you know, you don't open it up, that knocks off a whole bunch of times that's never going to come up again.
Okay?
And the second thing we do is we have these, what I call, they're sort of kind of dumping grounds for certain things like that. And one of them is the complimentary benefits check. Right?
Yes.
So, for instance, if you come into my office, I'm glad. You just bring all your insurance information, and I'm glad to do a complimentary benefits check for you to tell you exactly where you stand.
Before you incur any charges.
Yeah.
So it's like a big...
It's a big basin where you can kind of put all that stuff, you know? And if you do that first, Greg, or you offer that first, they're not even going to ask you a question sometimes.
So how would you introduce that? Then you literally try to preempt that before it comes up?
If possible, yeah.
Okay.
Or it's the first response.
Okay, in other words, do you take my Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Well, here's what we do in our office, Greg. When you come in, one of the first things we do, feel free to bring any insurance information you have with you, and we'll do a complimentary benefits check, and we'll find out exactly what kind of coverage you have.
Oh, great. Okay.
Now you don't do this. You don't just sit there. Right? Because if you sit there, what's the next question going to be?
I'm going to take control and ask you something else that you can't answer.
Yeah. So what you do is you answer the art of this is answer the question and then transition. Okay?
Okay.
So
the transition is where the staff person literally retakes control. Is that
exactly.
right?
Exactly. And here are the two best transitions the two that I like the best, and they're the most versatile, okay? And it works like this. Let's just pick up from that example we just had. So you're asking me about insurance. I tell you that we do this complimentary benefits check. And what I do is I say, is this going to be your first visit to the office?
Yes. Yes, I have never been here before.
Well, let me be the first to welcome you. How are you referred to the office?
Through the Yellow Pages.
Yellow Pages. Now, at this point, it's close time. And we teach a dual alternative close. Again, there's 14, 15, 20 different closes maybe. This is the most versatile one you can use, Greg. So at this point, I'm in a state of readiness. I know my next 2 days, okay? So for instance, what should happen, and this should be an automatic response, because I'm prepared before I pick up the phone. Would you prefer to come in? We're doing this tape on a Wednesday, so it might look like this. Would you prefer to come in Thursday or Friday? What's going to be more convenient for you?
Friday.
Friday. Would you prefer morning or afternoon on Friday?
Afternoon.
Early or late Friday?
Early.
Okay. Would 3 o'clock work for you?
Yeah, that works.
Okay, fantastic. Boom. Pin that appointment down, and then at that point, begin if you need to acquire some basic information, get the basic information.
Name, phone number, et cetera.
Exactly. Because here's what, you know, I know that anyone with any kind of sales experience knows that there's this benefit of getting agreement on certain things, right?
Right.
And so that dual alternative close allows you to get agreement on sort of the big blocks. And I train people, and I hope you can take this and parlay it to your staff, everyone's listening to this tape, is that we should not be throwing out times. We should be whittling it down like I did.
We throw out days.
Yeah, start with the days and see. Now, when I had the person that answered the phone for me, Greg, you know, one of the things that I did is I kind of joked with her. I said, look, here's how specific this needs to get, Greg. At what time in the morning, okay, if I'm answering your telephone, right, at what time in the morning do I say, see, because you could even do this, would you prefer to come in this afternoon or tomorrow? What's going to be more convenient for you? So there's a way of giving immediate availability without saying, would you like to come in today? Which sounds a little bit more desperate.
Okay.